Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Welcome to Clinically Speaking, where we discuss faith-based, psychological, and life coaching topics to help us to grow, develop, and maintain skills so that we may be elevated to the very best version of ourselves. I am your host, Sierra Renee, and I'm your friendipist. It is my job to love and encourage you like only a friend could, but I also want to educate, challenge, and empower you like your therapist should. On tonight's show, we are going to be talking about a topic called postpartum. I do have a special guest on the air with me today. Desiree, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I really appreciate that.
You are more than welcome. Thank you for having me.
So let me just introduce Desiree. She is actually a very, very, very good friend of mine, one of my best friends. I have, like, tons of best friends, and she made it into this inner circle of mine. I love her so very much. And she has just been such an amazing impact in my life as far as being, like, my accountability partner, being a support. You know, I've seen this meme online that said that behind every strong woman, there is a bunch of other women that's in the back saying, hey, go on, girl. And she is definitely that person
that
for me.
Me.
So, yes, that's definitely her. So I really appreciate all of your love and support. I want to give you just a couple of moments to share some things about yourself to our audience, and however much or however little you want to do, but just go ahead and introduce yourself as well.
Okay. So, hello, everyone. I am Desiree, as Sierra stated. I am a wife. I am a mother. I am a career woman, sister, friend, daughter, cousin, you name it. I hold many, many titles. And this is my first podcast, or blog talk, so I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
That's good. See, she's every woman, y'all. I told you, she's really awesome. She's really awesome. So I just appreciate you. So we are going to first start off with prayer, and then we're going to dig into our topic here. I know this is something that's very near and dear to you, so we're just going to have some open discussion tonight, and we're going to invite them to listen in on what some things that we have to say. So
perfect.
Just pray with me today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for another opportunity that you've given us to worship and glorify your name. God, we are so grateful for all of your mercy, all of your grace that you have given to us. God, right now we just ask that if there be anything that requires your forgiveness in our thought, word, or deed, that you would just help us to repent from those things so that we may draw closer and closer unto you. God, I'm asking right now that for your people, as we talk about this topic that may be very difficult for some people, or some people may not have an awareness of it, that you would just allow us to be the vehicle to display that. And I pray that for the listener, or that some that we have today, would draw closer unto you, Lord God. We understand that the gift of childbirth is such a blessing, God, and we're so grateful that you've allowed us as women to take on this massive and wonderful responsibility, but we know with who much is given, much is also required. So along with that may come some difficulties. So I'm just praying right now for wisdom. I'm praying right now for strength. I'm praying right now for courage and just a hedge of protection around any woman that may be experiencing some of these challenges and barriers with postpartum depression. God, we know that you within you is a total refuge. So I'm just asking right now that she finds that peace, solace within you, Lord God. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and we all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So I heard you say that you are a wife and a mom. How many children do you have?
I have 2 children. I have a 14-year-old son, and I have a 1-year-old little princess, sassy princess.
Yes. Yes. So I'm asking you these questions like I don't know, but that's because they don't know. So I got to let them know what's going on.
And
so
that's
we
fine.
Got 14. We got 14 and 1. So that's a big difference in age right there. What is that like?
It is very, very different. So with my son, I had him kind of young, and I was really set on just having the one child. It was super easy. You know, we could just pick up and go, and we're ripping and running. But then the closer I got to 30, because I always kind of had this mantra of, I don't want to be 30 with a newborn. It was just this thing I had going in my own head. the closer I got to 30, I'm like, you know, I began to get baby fever, and it would go away. But then I'm like, you know what? I think, you know, as 30 crept on and 31, and, you know, and I'm like, I'm 33, by the way. But
okay.
As I crept up in age, I'm like, I think I may regret, you know, not having a second child. And I did pray to God and kept my fingers crossed that it would be a girl. And, you know, lo and behold, he answered that prayer for me, and she is a girl.
Won't he do it?
Absolutely.
So let me just ask you this sidebar. Sidebar real quick. I don't know if I even know this for myself. If you had a boy, would you have tried again?
I would not have tried again. I think 2 is more than enough for me. I can only speak for myself. But I think 2 children, yeah, that's it. 2 and done. That, you know, there was once upon a time I did want to have multiple children, but it was only 2 then. So, yeah. If it was a boy, it would have sucked for the kids.
Okay. All right. I got you. So before we get into a little bit more about your personal experience, I want to talk to you guys a little bit, since it's clinically speaking. We're going to go into what the DSM says about postpartum. Now, we know that the DSM is kind of like our Bible of psychology, is what we as therapists utilize to kind of identify and define certain challenges that we face. And they kind of use this as like the gold standard, but it's not like the end all be all. We recognize that we are all humans, and there's a spectrum that's pretty broad, like it's a wide range. So just because you don't necessarily meet all of these things that are on the DSM does not mean that you're not having some challenges. It means that you haven't met the criteria for this specific level of a diagnosis. I wish you guys could see me because I have my little air quote fingers going on here. That doesn't mean that you're not experiencing challenges. And I think that that's important for us to understand, because a lot of times people feel like if they're not hitting everything on there, they're not qualified to be challenged in this area. And that's just not the case. If you're experiencing this on any level, it is still worth you going to talk to somebody. I don't want people to ever feel like, oh, no, that's not my case, or she's telling me that this is not it because I haven't met certain criteria that we have listed. But this is just for us to open up a conversation. And if I can be completely honest with you guys, it's political, too, because this is how insurance is paid for. It got to fall on us. And, Desiree, you in an insurance company. You know how it goes.
Yes, ma'am.
They need to know that this is not something that we are just out here playing around. It's a kind of a check and balance system to keep us up to date, to keep us up on our ethics, as well as to have an understanding. So I'm going to just read you guys some information on what the DSM says. I want to say that the DSM doesn't recognize postpartum depression as a separate diagnosis. It's kind of like an added-on thing that goes along with depression. So there's not like an entry specific for postpartum depression. So it's an addition. So it's like with this type of extra things that goes along with it. So the DSM says that in order to have major depressive episodes, you need to have 5 or more of these 9 symptoms. So that's 5 or more of these 9 symptoms in the same 2-week period, which each of these symptoms represents a change from previous functioning and needs present from every day. So you need to have depressed mood, subjective or observed, can be irritable mood in children and adolescents most of the day, loss of interest or pleasure most of the day, change in weight or appetite, weight which is about 5% change over 1 month, insomnia or hypersomnia. So that's what you see what I mean about the spectrum. So you could either be up all night or you could be super sleep all the time. So that's the spectrum right there. psychomotor retardation or agitation that's observed. So you've lost some type of bodily functioning there. Loss of energy or fatigue, feelings of worthlessness or guilt, impaired concentration or indecisiveness, or reoccurring thoughts of death or suicide ideation or even an attempt. So the B causes, symptoms may be cause significant distress or impairment. Episode is not attributable to any substance or medical condition. Episode is not better explained by any other psychotic disorder, and there has never been any manic or hypermanic episodes. So those are some of the things that is required under depression. Now, when you talk about creating it as postpartum, the onset, which this is new from the previous DSM, the onset would have been within 6 weeks of delivery. But there was some research that suggested sometimes that happens prior to delivery. So we put it in there as about, it could start up to 4 weeks before delivery. So now this is when you understanding that this is more connected to the medical condition, which would be pregnancy, versus our day-to-day, okay, there's some external factors in life that's causing us to be depressed. So we want to make sure that we clearly identify that for specific reasons. We know that there's a major hormonal change that goes on within a mom when she's delivering a baby, right? On top of so many pressures that we feel in society or maybe within our family of origin or even that we just put on ourselves as far as, like, you're responsible for this human now. You are responsible for their livelihood, right? For making them be a productive citizen in the future. Like, there's a lot of pressures that come along with that. So we know that that can definitely have a major impact on some of those things. So that's how it's clear. That's how it's defined as far as with in the DSM. So now, Desiree, you told us that you have 2 children, 14-year-old, and you had a 1-year-old now. So you say that you've experienced postpartum depression. Now, was it with your son or your daughter?
It was actually with my daughter, and initially I really didn't know what was going on. Like, it took a while for me to realize. So I would say I would be on that within 6 weeks of delivery category. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't know what was going on. I'm just constantly telling my husband, like, you know, I just don't feel like myself, what's going on. And I know that oftentimes when women have children, you know, you're like, woo, okay, I can't wait to get back to me. And then you just think that it's going to be this instantaneous thing. And, you know, sometimes it is, but sometimes it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So what I noticed within myself, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. So what I noticed within myself it was a loss of interest. You know, things that, and then of course, you know, as just human beings in general, we are ever evolving, right? But it was just a loss of interest. Things that I used to do, I just had absolutely zero interest in doing. Shopping being one of those things when that is my thing. And of course, this is just amongst other things. Being super social, you know, I found it hard to do that as well. I experienced change of weight. In my case, it was gaining, you know, gaining a few extra pounds. I did experience a loss of energy. I was, you know, I found myself to be just more drained and more tired. And I'm, you know, I'm just wondering what's going on. I went back to work after my daughter, 3 months after she was born. But even after I got back to work, it was like I just still couldn't get into the groove. My mind was still cloudy and foggy, and I just was not me. I definitely had the feeling of guilt, that mom guilt is something else. I don't know what the difference is between my daughter and my son. I don't know if it's my age, which is what I kind of chucked it up to be. Oh, it's my age. But the mom guilt is like on a higher level. I did mention kind of feeling cloudy, which was the loss of concentration. So, you know, I just wasn't feeling myself, and I just kept saying, I just noticed it was like week after week, I'm just telling my husband, like, I just don't feel like myself. I don't know what's going on. And when I really took a step back, did a little research of my own, and then I was like, you know what, I think I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to talk to my doctor. And once I talked to my doctor, we just kind of came, you know, that was what we, that's what I was diagnosed with per se, a very mild case, if you will. I don't know, well, yeah, I guess it's some other cases could be more extreme, but you know, it's like I never felt the need to harm myself or others, but I just wasn't myself. And just trying to get back to Desiree was my trouble. And I'm still trying to get 100% back there, but that, you know, that was my struggle as far as postpartum depression goes.
Thank you for sharing that. You know, I heard you say that, you know, mild case of it, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because what I didn't say earlier is that there, again, we are humans, we're all different and unique, and things are, we live on a spectrum. So somebody can be in any spot, or way at the left, in the middle, or way on the right. So when you think about postpartum depression, it's, there's one with psychosis, and you said that you weren't trying to harm yourself or others. Sometimes there are women who experience a level of postpartum depression where there is harm that they want to do to the child. And I think that that can be very scary. I know I could only imagine that frustration and then, followed by that guilt with that. So I'm thankful that, you know, what you experienced was not on that level. But I think that for the woman who may be experiencing something on that level, she needs to have an understanding that there is something that is not connected at this point. It is not the fact that you don't love your child. You need to get some supportive services in that area. So I'm glad you were able to go to your doctor and he was able to help you out with that, because I think that sometimes there's a lot of shame that's connected to that. Can you speak to that a little bit? Did you feel any kind of like shame or fears, or what exactly were you feeling like that was keeping you from maybe talking to your doctor or seeking counsel or something like that? Were you experiencing anything there?
I was, actually. So at first it was, I'm going to say a little denial, because I'm like, no, you know, because when depression is looked at in such a negative way to where you don't want to mention it or admit it to anybody, because then they're going to think, oh, she's crazy, or it's this or it's that. But
you know, it just after me really not feeling like myself, and I was just really ready to take those steps to get back to myself, I just said, you know what, this is something that I have to do. And, of course, I was going to follow-up appointments, and my doctor would always ask me, you know, like, how do you feel? Is everything okay? You know, they give you surveys. Do you ever think about harming yourself? So forth and so on. And it's mm-hmm. always a no. But once I really sat back and recognized, like, hey, you know, I believe that something is wrong. I believe I do have postpartum depression, because the loss of interest is really and being less social. Those things mm-hmm. really, really stuck out to me, because I am mm-hmm. social, you know, and I've become so much less social. But in talking to my doctor, yes, that fear was there. I spoke with her. I spoke with a few other people, and I was able to get over the hump, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, I have
yeah.
some very, very good people in my life. You know, outside of my doctors or people like that, but I have some very good people in my life, like really, really good friends and family members mm-hmm. in which, you know, I could talk to and confide in. And, you know, there, I actually, me speaking of it now, to be totally honest, because it's only like a handful of people who I've ever even spoke to it about, but me speaking about it now is kind of like, hey, if anybody's listening, yes, I did experience, you know, postpartum depression. So, you know, this is kind of like me telling, coming out and yeah. telling my story to everybody. Yeah.
Well, you guys heard it here first. I'm breaking this world with this exclusive right here. And what I'm hearing you say is that it's okay to not be okay during this time. And,
yeah.
you know, not it, 70% of women will go through postpartum depression. That's a huge number, 70%. And then when you think about that percentage that goes untreated, it's very alarming. And it's sad because, you know, the thing is there's so much support that's available. There's so much help, and it's really okay. Your body goes through a lot birthing a child, and I laughed internally because you said, I don't know if it was my age or what it was, but I think it was you giving birth to a girl, and you know how we are. We hormonal.
Yeah.
that girl was like, I need all of this, mommy. I need all of this.
Took everything. You hear me?
So it might be the girls. I don't know. There's no research that I could pull out to prove it, but hey, you know, we can see some differences there, right? But
yeah,
I feel like, you know, some of the things that I want the people to listening to know, that it is okay to not be okay. You are not a bad mother because you don't feel like it today. You're somebody that's in need of some support. You're somebody that's in need of many of the things that we go through as far as, like, cognitive just reframing of certain situations, some education about what's going on. Once you, like, how relieved were you, Desiree, when your doctor told you, like, yeah, this is what this is? How relieved were you by that?
Actually, I was extremely relieved because I was – confused, you know, because I was steady trying mm-hmm. to figure out what the heck was going on with me. So I was really relieved.
Yeah. Knowledge is power. So a lot of times you did say, too, that there's a negative stigma about depression, particularly within our African-American culture, within our Christian culture as well. There's such a negative
yes.
stigma, but the reality is we live in a fallen world. So how dare we excuse something that is, like ignore something that is not part of that. Yes, depression is real. It's a part of us living in this fallen world. So many people are impacted by it. But the simple thing is, there's so much that is to offer to help reverse some of those things. We have the support groups that are available. You can literally go online and find a support group for anything, like people who have a thing with left shoes. Like, you can totally find a support group for anything under the sun. So you can do something like that. That's a lot less that's a lot less formal, I think, when you go into those support groups, because you can kind of just get a feel for how it is. And then there's psychotherapy, where you just sit down and do talk therapy. There's just psychoeducation, where you have an understanding of some of the things that goes on in you neurologically that helps you to feel that sense of relief that I'm just not completely broken, or the frustration of I don't even know how to fix this because I don't know what it is. Once we can identify something, there's so many doors that open up as far as what it is that you need to do from this point on. So that education piece is something that is so important. And then, of course, last but definitely not least, we have a God who loves us so much that he provides us a sense of that peace. You know, I believe that just pressing in to our Father God, who can help us to just become that place of refuge, is something that is so important. You know, the word tells us that we're supposed to meditate on those things. And a lot of times depression is a thought that we have. We feel that sense of worthlessness, those sense of guilt, just failure, just all these negative things that go on in our mind that we ruminate on, which eventually manifests on the outside. It turns into social isolation. We're not doing any of the things that we love to do, like shopping anymore, just not finding anything that has a sense of joy. Well, the Bible is completely the opposite of that. If we were to meditate on that and constantly have those things in our mind, we are now equipped to kind of combat those negative thoughts that may come up from this world. And I think we overlook the power of just having those things to say to ourselves that come from the Bible, because that's our ultimate authority, right? I so appreciate my friends. I have a therapist myself, and just other people that speak into my life, and their words have so much meaning to me, but the ultimate authority in my life is God. So I literally can take something that one of my friends said to me, and it has a certain level of power, but if I'm able to support it in the Bible, it goes to next level, because God is that most important thing in my life, and again, he's the ultimate authority. So all of those resources and tools that are available for us, it's like I'm just so glad that we serve the kind of God that we do, because he's already given us the things that we need. There are other tools that we can utilize in this world, because I don't want us to neglect those. I'm not the therapist that's telling you all you got to do is read your word, because I know that ain't true. We need some practical, real-life, tangible things that we could touch and feel, but that word of God, once we put it into our heart, it is so easy for those things to come up and help us during those times. So I don't know, Desiree, where are you right now? We've got like 2 minutes. So as far as you feeling like getting over that hump, are you feeling Desiree? Is she back?
She is almost back. I definitely can say that she's almost back. I have way more energy than I did. My concentration levels are up. You know, I'm just trying to get everything within my household together, and then I feel like I will be 100% just in terms of just getting back on track and getting organized at home. I feel like all the way there. Yeah.
Yeah. So to that lady who's listening that's on the fence, she's like, I don't have this. I don't know. What do you say to her?
I would say, if you are truly not feeling like yourself, if you don't want to talk to your doctor, if you have a good friend, somebody who can speak positivity over your life or encourage you, I would definitely do that. I myself began going to work and just asking questions to my fellow mothers, you know, and coworkers at work, and just asking questions, and come to find out there are way more women who have experienced postpartum depression than what we know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Desiree. I'm here. The timer tell me I have 60 seconds. I really appreciate you for sharing openly. I know that somebody is going to be blessed by the information that you share with us today. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. And this is also helping me get over that hump. So I really, really appreciate you.
Yes, I'm going to close this out in prayer. You guys, you know you can find me on Facebook at Elevated Counseling and Coaching. You can also go onto my website, Elevated Counseling and Coaching. If you have more questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to hit me up. You can also just reach out to me directly at 734-956-0616. I'm going to pray, and we're going to be done. Thank you, Father God, for all that you've done. You are such gracious and merciful, God. We love you. We appreciate you. I pray that you meet every need. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys lots. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.